Welcome to AMDA on the Hill, your opportunity to keep up with the latest policy and advocacy news from the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. AMDA on the Hill is produced in association with AMDA on the Go and available on the same podcast channel. And now here is your host for AMDA on the Hill, Alex Bardock.
Hi, and welcome to AMDA on the Hill. This is Alex Bardock with your periodic updates on our public policy and advocacy efforts. This last month, since our last update, the biggest news story has been the release of the annual physician fee schedule that covers many of the payment rules for physician services, as well as the quality payment program that was established under MACRA. So there's a lot to cover in this physician fee schedule. It's a regulation that's over 1,700 pages long. There's a lot of detail included, which is probably impossible to get through this update, but we have provided a summary, an article in our health policy publication, and we'll have a lot more detail as things come out. One important thing to understand about this is that its current state, this is a proposed regulation, meaning they are seeking comments on everything that's included in this proposal, and comments will be due on September 27th, which is actually a lot later than it is typical. At that point, CMS will review all of the comments that are submitted and issue a final rule sometime in November. Usually it's in the beginning of November. And many of those policies will go into effect starting January 1, 2020. So let's go through a couple of highlights from the physician fee schedule proposed rule. Well, the major news story to come out of that was the update on what's going to happen with the revision to the evaluation and management services. As you may recall, a year ago, CMS started down the path of undergoing major revisions to the documentation and payment for evaluation and management services. They limited that to office-based codes, and then they received a number of comments, including comments that we submitted, putting out some challenges with the CMS proposal. Ultimately, CMS last November walked back a lot of their proposals and delayed it until 2021. Since that point, AMDA has been working with many physician specialty societies on a proposal to change some of the things that CMS was thinking about. Well, in this proposed rule, CMS listened to AMDA and many of the other specialty societies and actually proposed to include what is called the AMA, RUC, and CPT recommendations for the codes. So there will be some changes. One important item to understand is that CMS is still delaying those changes until 2021. So nothing will happen next year with any evaluation and management services. There are changes with documentation requirements. There are changes with some of the payment levels for established patients. And there are additional codes that CMS is proposing. So this is a very big change. It's welcome news from around the physician specialty world. There are increases in payment for primary care. But one thing I will mention is that it is only at this point limited to office-based codes. There are no changes at this time to the skilled nursing facility family of evaluation and management codes. In fact, at a briefing with CMS just recently, I had an opportunity to ask CMS whether they plan to expand the changes they've proposed to other codes in the SNF, skilled nursing facility family of codes. And the answer at this point is they are really focused on the changes that they're proposing in the office-based world, and they want to see how those changes go and then kind of tackle the rest of the evaluation and management world. So we shall see. But the takeaway is that over the next year, people will have to become familiar with the changes that they are proposing and will likely finalize in November. If you would like to comment, these are open for public comment. Any individual or a group can submit comments to their portal, and AMDA will certainly have talking points, and we are happy to answer any questions. There are several other changes. There are changes to the transitional care management and the chronic care management code. They're increasing payment for the transitional care management code and reducing some of their requirements. And that is because they are not seeing as much of an uptake for that code as they would have imagined. So they're trying to provide even more incentive for clinician and clinician groups to build a transitional care management code. This code, if you've listened to some of our other informational webinars on coding is not available in the skilled nursing facility. However, once patients transition out of the skilled nursing facility into their homes, it is a code that you can utilize to ensure that they are not going back to the hospital. CMS is also adding some codes in the chronic care management code. They're adding some incremental time. Right now, you're only limited to a certain code that you can only bill if you reach 60 minutes. They're adding some codes that you can bill incrementally. And they're adding another code that that will pay for services for a single chronic care condition. As you recall, the chronic care management is for two or more chronic conditions. Now they're basically saying if you're managing one single key healthcare condition, you can also bill for those services. So these are all welcome changes. I think they are moving forward with increasing payment in the primary care world. Of course, that's sending a bit of a shockwave through the entire physician fee schedule. The way that it works is you have a pool of money that's distributed to all services. So when you are adding money for some of these codes, that means some families of codes may go down, and particularly in surgical and specialty services. So that'll be a balance that CMS will have to strike, and the comments that they will receive. AMDA will, of course, work with other specialty societies and submit comments on their own, in particular how all of this will impact the skilled nursing facility world and home health and assisted living and all the rest. Additional changes in the fee schedule include telehealth services. Unfortunately, we do not see a proposal to lift any sort of restriction on the skilled nursing facility restriction for once a month on telehealth services. However, they are adding additional remote patient monitoring codes, which should be quite interesting, whether how applicable they could be to a skilled nursing facility environment. It is very possible that's something that clinicians will be able to take advantage of. So that's on the payment side. Like I said, there's a lot of detail here, more than probably you can consume. And then the second part of the fee schedule is the quality payment program. That is what you report under MACRA, that is your MIPS and your advanced APMs. There are not major changes with this program. It continues to move along its pathway. However, CMS has recognized that it is a burdensome program for many clinicians to report on quality, on quality measures, on health IT measures, on cost, and other things. For the last several years, AMDA has been working with other specialty societies to develop a more streamlined approach to all of this that we believe fits much better with the original intent of the MACRA legislation to collapse all of these different programs and make one streamlined, less burdensome reporting. And this time around, CMS has listened to those ideas, and they are putting in something called the MVPs, or the value pathways. So these pathways are essentially collapsing the four different categories of MIPS and are streamlining the reporting. This is just a proposal. It is not going to likely go into effect in 2020, but it is something that CMS is thinking about down the road to simplify this whole process. On the advanced APM side, there aren't a whole lot of changes that we've seen so far. There are some changes proposed to the ACE accountable care organizations that are in separate parts of the rule that would impact that. But again, no major changes to advanced alternative payment models. So it's likely that a lot of clinicians will continue to report through the MIPS paradigm. And we'll obviously have a lot more information on that. I do want to address a little bit about the advanced APMs, and that is I've talked about that AMDA is very involved in the development of advanced payment models for clinicians practicing in the post-acute long-term care environment. We did have a meeting, several of AMDA leaders went down to the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation to discuss a model that would be particular for post-acute and long-term care. We think we're making some headway. We think we got a lot of positive reception to some of the ideas we talked about, and we're submitting some of those comments in writing currently. The idea being that we want to ensure that clinicians have the opportunity to share in the savings in these payment models and perhaps be able to get out of reporting through MIPS and instead be in the advanced alternative payment model, which I think has been the preference for many of the clinicians. So this is something AMDA continues to think about and work on as we move forward. One of the things we did not see many changes in this proposed fee schedule on the facility-based option, meaning that clinicians in post-acute long-term care could simply use their facility-based scores for their own reporting. We didn't see much of that, although we continue to talk to CMS about those options, again, to streamline and simplify your reporting. Last thing I'll mention is this is like a heavy regulatory update. There, along with the physician fee schedule, which is a proposed rule, 2 weeks prior to that release came out the skilled nursing facility final rule, the prospective payment system final rule. It's certainly a rule that you all should be paying attention to. It's got some important information, including the continued implementation of the Impact Act, which has quality measures that the facilities must be reporting on. There's an additional measure for such as transfer of health information that requires certain data exchange from the facility to the next level of care. And there are changes to the skilled nursing facility value-based purchasing program. So all of these changes are going on and are going to take effect in 2020. So there are a lot of regulatory activity right now. Congress is, of course, on recess. So I guess now is the time for regulation. But as Congress gets back in early September, AMDA board and its staff will be meeting with many of congressional offices, and we'll be discussing a lot of these issues, including workforce and advanced care planning and many other issues that we've talked to them before. So it's probably a longer update than what you're used to, but there had been a lot of information that had come out recently, so I wanted to touch on all of those points. As usual, please feel free to stay in touch with AMDA, with myself. Send me an email if you have questions. If you have thoughts on anything that I've talked about in the proposed rule or something that we've missed, please feel free to send us an email. Get involved in making these comments and or submitting those comments yourself. Hopefully when we talk next, I can update you as to what we ended up saying on some of those proposals and where CMS and Congress plans to go next. Thank you very much.
References from this podcast can be found at paltc.org/policy. This podcast is not eligible for CMD credits. We'll see you next time here at AMDA on the Hill.